A boat gently rocks beneath you, the waves lulling you side to side. A haunting voice calls to you on the cool sea air. You reach out. You've been lured in by the Siren Sisters. Hello, my name is Audrey and my pronouns are she, her.
My name is Ash and my pronouns are she, her.
And this week we're rating and reviewing The Sea Witch by Sarah Henning. This was published by HarperCollins and in collaboration with Catherine Tegan Books and was released September 7th, 2020. Just for a brief, description. there's been a lot of fairy tale retellings from the villain side of things, and this is one of those. And this is kind of loosely based on The Little Mermaid and Ursula.
Yeah, loosely, I think, is a key word.
Loosely is definitely a key word here. All right, well, let's get right into it.
Let's dive right in.
Oh, boy.
I gotta make that joke every time.
I don't know why, but it makes me laugh every time. Genuinely. I'm always like, oh, LOL.
LOL, it's a bunny.
We're mermaids. Okay. Alrighty. So the book opens with a little flashback of these two girls and this boy running around playing on the sea, in the sea rocks on the beach. And the boy falls. The girl dives to save him because he's a prince. And if he gets a bonk on his noggin, everybody's going to freak out. So she she dives to save him. And I think her ribs break and one of her lungs gets punctured.
Oof.
Yes, which is not great. So she is taken back to her little seaside cottage where her mom and her dad are. Her mom's name is Greta and she is a witch. And her mom realizes that there's no healing magic that she can do to save her unless she exchanges her life for her daughter's. And it's like, oh, no.
Oh.
And the daughter, whose name is Evie, that we know at this point, she's got like raven hair, cute little freckles. She's very cute. She has been learning some magic with her mom, and she tries to do an Uno reverse on her mom and be like, no. I will sacrifice myself for you.
I'll sacrifice myself for your sacrifice.
Exactly. And the mom's like, no.
Nah.
Respectfully,
nah,
no.
Nah, BB.
That's not how this works. So the mom dies in her place. I think her eyes go inky black. And they use a lot of octopus ink in their spell casting and that kind of thing. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is some nice foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. I liked it a lot. And the dad calls for his mom's sister, who's like way older than her. And her name is Hansa. And she's like the royal physician, basically. But she is definitely a witch. She's like the royal family's witch. So they call for her. And they have their funeral. And Hansa lives with them from now on. It opens on a birthday party, just like the movie, The Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're on a boat. It's the Crown Prince's birthday. His name is Crown Prince Asger Nicholas Brynjolf Oldenburg III.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, we just call him Nick.
Yeah.
But he's the Crown Prince of Havnestad, and I'm pretty sure this is Danish. We were talking about this a little bit. It's Danish-ish.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, if these are real places, but it's definitely based in that culture.
Yes. I don't think so. I don't think it is. But well, I don't know. We'll see. But they're just a small kingdom on the seaside, and they're like, you know, Northern Europe. So all the names are fun.
Yeah. I listened to the audiobook, by the way, listeners. Audrey read the physical book. I listened to the audiobook. Well, I read the first like 20 pages of the physical book and then listened to the audiobook. So I got to hear these things pronounced, but that did not help me comprehend them anymore.
That's really funny.
If anything, I'm a visual learner, so it maybe would have helped me to see them instead of just hearing them.
I do think the book reads better than it does, like, audio, you know, reads. Because when they switch back and forth between the past and the present for these, like, current events, all of the text is in italics, and the text takes on a more third-person narrative feel. And it's more, it feels a little more storybook or, like, legend-telling kind of thing.
Yeah, which is not, it's not a perspective you get in the audiobook, because she just goes back to the scene over and over again throughout the book. And it's just a little, it's repetitive when you're just hearing the same scene kind of playing over and over again, but, like, 10 more seconds happen at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the book, it was fine. I did get a little bit tired of it. I was like, come on. Show us her die. Like,
how? We get it.
We get it.
She dead.
She dies. But we get more perspectives each time, which I liked. So it wasn't, like, awful. You know, it wasn't, like, grating to me.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't, like, horrible. I was just like, okay, I don't get this.
That's fair. That's very fair. So it's Nick's birthday, and they're on a boat. They're having a little dance party, and he has to dance with the royal lady who he does not like.
Snooty princess lady.
Her name's, like, Malvina, and I love that.
Yes.
I liked her. I liked her as a character the more the book went.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Evie liked her a little more, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was interesting. So Malvina, she's baked this crazy cake for the prince. Evie does a little bit of magic and is like, oh no, Malvina, your fondant's melting. And she's
she magically pulls the fondant off the cake.
Right?
It's like exploding from the inside. She's like, oh no.
Oh no. But while Malvina's distracted, she dances with Nick. And he's like, oh, thank you for saving me from this, like, social situation. No. And she's like, yeah, no biggie. We're BFFs. Like, I'll
do
whatever.
We're just friends.
We're just friends. We're just the best of friends. And
that's what BFFs do for each other. Nothing else.
Nothing else. I liked it, though. You get a little bit of flavor of, like, you know, they're best friends, but he's royalty, and she is clearly an outcast, and nobody reacts well to them being close friends.
Yeah, because she's just like a fisherman's daughter, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And magic is illegal?
Super illegal.
Okay.
Like, super duper illegal.
Then why is Hansa, like, their royal witch?
So, Hansa is so good at magic and has done so much to heal the king that they just hand wave it. Because it benefits them.
They would.
Exactly. Well, and they don't directly call her a witch. They'll say, like, oh, she's the royal healer. Or, ooh, like, yeah, she's, like, a healing woman. Mm-hmm. But they don't use the W word for her. Because that would not benefit them.
Exactly. Political statement.
Exactly. All right. So they're dancing. She gets pulled away. Oh yeah, Malvina comes back and she's like, hey, we need more candles, idiot girl who's not royal. Because she's
trash, garbage girl.
Malvina's like a countess, so she's like of noble birth, and she has a title, so she's like noble. And Evie's like, okay, whatever, I'll go get these stupid candles. Yeah, but she's not too upset. When she goes below decks, though, she grabs the candle. Oh, and she uses a little bit of magic to, like, light the way in the hull of the ship. So, like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So she uses this part was very, like, clearly imagined in my brain. So you have the ship on the water, it's dark, it's a little bit of stormy. She goes down and you see just some flickering lights from the porthole, like, in the water, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
You can see, like, the ocean through the porthole. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, this is a movie in my brain.
That's the best.
It was, for me, the whole book was very easy to picture, so
Yeah, yeah.
That was part of why I read it in one sitting.
Oh, I didn't realize you read it in one sitting.
I sure did. Well, I had a little more trouble.
I think that was more me, though. I was in a bad place to, like, consume a book. And it was also maybe only my second or third audiobook I'd ever listened to. Mm. And I didn't love the narrator. Yeah. So it was a little different experience for me. But I still enjoyed it. I mean, it's about mermaids, so how bad can it be? Well, we learned that last week, that it can be bad.
It can be bad. It can be real bad.
We cannot like it.
There's a full spectrum. You know, yeah. Mermaid movies and mermaid mm-hmm. content.
Mm-hmm. Highs and lows, really. High mm-hmm. tides and low tides for us here on this podcast.
But I'm glad that you listened to the audiobook, because I like hearing the differences, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's finding the candles in the hull of the ship, and she sees a little flash of scales, like, on the porthole window. And then she recognizes the face of this person, and she thinks she sees her friend Anna, who has died like 10 years ago. Or yeah. maybe it was not 10 years ago, maybe it was like 8 or 9. I think they say it. She's about 16, 17, okay. and it happened when they were 10, so like 7, okay, 8 years. Okay. We'll say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's like becoming a woman, you know. Ooh.
A woman.
Well, and the Crown Prince Nick is also, he's becoming a man. So, yeah. And they're the same age. Mm-hmm. They're playmates.
They're babies.
Mm-hmm. So she sees that and she's like, oh my God, that was my friend. What the hell?
My dead friend in the ocean.
Magic. So she goes up back to the decks. She has the candles. Prince Iker, who is Nick's cousin, comes in from a neighboring kingdom. He was like, oh, I'm late to the party, guys. And Evie's what like, up? Oh, my God, he's hot.
Oh, my God.
Well, she's had a crush on Prince Iker for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nick kind of elbows her a little bit. Like, he does a little teasing.
Yeah, that was nice. I liked that.
I liked that, too. I was like, aw, they're cute. And yeah. In the back of my head, I was like, is he jealous?
See, here's the thing. I know I just made fun of Vaha, like, oh, we're just friends and that's it. But I definitely fell for it for a while.
Oh, sure.
We're just friends. And I was like, yeah, they're just friends because she likes Iker, which yeah. The narrator said Iker was his name. And I was
Iker?
Like,
okay.
What the fuck? Iker? Iker makes more sense to me. How is it spelled?
I-K-E-R. I liked Iker.
Oh. Yeah, Iker makes more sense.
Iker. Mm-hmm.
We'll call him Iker.
Okay, I like it.
But yeah, Iker comes in the picture. I know. Iker, Prince Iker.
Yeah.
But she's like, ooh, Iker's hot. And I was like, oh, cool. Done. Uh-huh. I accept that.
Perfect. And he's like just a couple years older than them, too.
Yeah, he's kind of like a bad boy. Like, he doesn't care that he's a prince. He's like nonchalant.
He was sailing his own little schooner out to them. Yeah. This whole town and society is very sea-centric, so
yeah.
They make their livelihoods off the sea, off of fishing, and sailing is like a pastime for them. So Iker's there. He's like, ooh, let me dance with you, Evie.
Let me dance with you, baby.
And she's like, wow, he's so tan, and like his hair is so sun-bleached. It's so cute. And I'm like, check. That makes sense.
Done.
And Nick is like the tall, dark haired one. So
really? I thought the opposite. I thought Nick Mm-mm. was blonde and Iker had dark hair.
It's because romances have socialized us into thinking the male lead has to have dark hair.
And you're right.
It's the second male who always has like brown or blonde hair.
You're right. I just had decided in my head the dark haired bad boy, that's my type.
Oh, I know. I had to keep switching it in my brain because that's what I go to.
Yeah, you know, yeah, my brain had just decided and I never went back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, his hair is a little more like sun bleached and tawny, and Nick's is dark.
Okay.
Raven-y.
Fine.
Yeah, so a storm comes. The ship is kind of in distress. Everyone has to go underneath decks except for Evie, Iker, and Nick. And they successfully bring the ship into the bay. And, like, they keep their passengers safe. Except Nick gets washed to sea and they don't know where he is.
Why didn't he go below deck?
Because they needed three people to sail.
Oh, and we picked the two princes to do that?
They have the most. So it, when I was reading it, I was also like, oh, what are y'all doing? And she was like, well, we went out on this party boat, just like me and my guests, because I didn't want guards or other like randos around my party. And they like sail for fun. They like, they're supposed to be really good at it as the leaders of their country. Okay. So like they're proficient sailors, but I was like, y'all didn't bring a bosun. Sure. You didn't bring a captain.
Who's in charge of this ship?
Nick was the captain at the time.
That seems dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. It was very stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, this does sound like a thing that rich kids would do with their parents' yacht, though. So I was kind of like,
true.
Right? I was like, yeah, you guys are
you're right,
dumb.
Right.
I think that Iker's little schooner gets like swept away a little bit, too.
Yeah.
And he loses his boat for a while. Next thing that happens, they're in distress trying to find Prince Nick. I think Iker kisses Evie.
You know, I
that
think
happens
you're right.
Pretty. Yeah, she's like distressed. She's like running around on the beach, and he's like, "Hey, calm down, smooch." What if we smooched though? Like, we just survived this crazy adrenaline thing.
Yeah, that was kind of out of nowhere.
It was a little bit, and I was like, "Huh, okay, all right." It's nice that like he actively likes her, you know.
Yeah, I did like that. I was afraid it was going to be like she liked him and he was like just kind of playing with her. But they actually have like a kind of a nice romance.
They did. They did. I was worried for that too, though. I was
I was scared. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Yeah. Older guy who like is too cool for you. Mm-hmm. They do end up finding Nick. He's washed ashore. And he's taken back to the palace and he recovers. I think Evie gets to visit him once or twice.
Wait, you skipped a very important detail.
I did.
She sees
she does.
She sees her friend as a mermaid, like doing the whole aerial thing, like singing to him over the beach while he's unconscious.
I forgot
and
that.
And she sees him and she goes, "Nick." Which the narrator says that line so many times when she's screaming for him, and it's always the same, just "Nick," the same tone, the same note, same pitch, just "Nick" over and over and over again. And so she sees him on the beach when he's washed up, and there's like, I think her top half is out of the water, but her bottom half is in the water.
Oh,
and she's like,
yes.
Oh, a blonde girl has pulled him from the water.
Him. Yes. And crazy. Then she like dives away and she sees the tail.
A flick of the tail.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, mermaids are here. Mermaids.
Mermaids. They didn't describe the tail very much. I'll tell you that.
Oh, no, they did not. It was
Do we
not.
Do even know what color it is?
Oh, I was imagining orangey pink.
Oh, I thought it was blue.
Sure. No idea.
I mean, who knows? They don't tell us.
What if it was silver? I don't know.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Right? Fancy. No, they don't tell us really anything. So Evie saw this magical thing. She's like, "I think my friend's alive and maybe a mermaid?"
Yeah, very weird.
Nick recovers. She and Iker, I want to say they hang out a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. They go on some dates.
They do. Next big thing that happens, we get a little bit of flavor. We get a little bit of, her struggle with magic. She's not like super duper good at magic. She can't do big magic. Mm-hmm. She does visit the ships in the port every day or on the dock every day and like kind of does a little blessing over them. Because they had this terrible, famine for like 4 years. And then after she started blessing, the ships with her magic, things kind of went back to normal. They you know, had an abundance of food. And that was an important plot point.
That seems like a big magic to me.
I would agree. Like, I would agree. Whoa. But she doesn't quite know that it's all her doing.
Okay.
So she knows that they had a famine. She knows it got better. And like the timeline kind of makes sense. And she's like, oh, well, maybe it, you know, it's my blessing. But she doesn't have verifiable proof. So she's like full of self-doubt with her magic. Okay. And Hansa does not actively teach her things which is anymore. Bullshit. I was a little bit like, why though? You know? Right. Especially when she's like, oh, you want to know big magic. You want to like do things, but there are consequences. And she's like, okay, but you've never taught her how to like manage this. So anyway, but we get to see that she has a little secret cave where she practices her magic. And she's like,
which is cute.
I liked that a lot. She like scrolls away books and secret potions and ink bottles. They use octopus ink a lot in their magic. And I really liked the sea flavor over all of the magic and the spells. I thought that was really fun. So she is hanging out by the sea. This is the next thing, the next big thing that happens. She's hanging out by the sea. She's having a little picnic, and this girl comes up to her and is like, oh hey, are you do you have food?
She just walks up to her.
She does. And Evie is shocked because she looks exactly like her friend who died. We get some flashbacks throughout the story of the day that it happened. So we have that flashback when they're 10 and then when they're like 12. Oh, yeah. It's like she's like 12. They're almost 13. That's right.
Yeah.
So they're 12, 13. They were going to race each other in the ocean. And during the race, when the tide swept out Anna, and Anna drowned. And they tried to save her, but it didn't work. So, cut to the present. Evie's on the rock. This random girl who looks exactly like her dead friend comes up.
Suspicious.
And the girl is like, oh, hey, I ran away and I need food. I'm royal or whatever. Or, like, I'm a secret lady. I don't know. I don't quite remember the excuse that she gives.
I don't either.
It's kind of like she ran away from her handler.
Yeah. Or like, didn't she say her dad was abusive or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was something along those lines. And Evie's like, wow, Anna? And she's like, my name is Anna Met. How did you know that? And she's like, oh, so you don't know me? And she's like, no, you're a stranger. And she's like, are you sure you're not my dead friend?
You look just like her, and your name is Anna Meta.
Yep. Did the audiobook say Anna Meta?
They did say Anna Meta.
Okay, cool. That makes sense, like, with how it's spelled.
Is there an E on the end?
There is.
Okay, yeah, they said Anna Meta. And later, Nick calls her Meta, is her nickname.
Yes, that's her nickname. Mm-hmm. Which is very funny.
Yeah.
So they kind of hang out. They're open. So I think Evie suspects that she's the mermaid. And then Anna Meta, like, reveals a thing or two. They go back to Hansa. That's right. So she takes her back home to Hansa. Hansa is like, this bitch is a magic, and
this is Anna. And I feel like Evie's still kind of questioning it, though. Like, she's questioning
herself.
Oh,
the whole time. Yeah, the whole time.
Which I'm like, bitch, how could you? Like, she's literally your friend, and she has the same name. But you're like, but is she, though?
But is she, though? I did watch her die.
The resemblance is canny.
She's, I think throughout most of the book, she's secretly hoping that it's you know, actually Anna, and she's just lost her memories. That's what I'm remembering.
Yeah, like, at first she, like, is like, oh, I guess it's not. But then she's like, okay, I guess, like, it is her, but she doesn't know that it's her. So we have to remind her that she's Anna, kind of.
Right. Yeah, she keeps trying to, like, make her remember that she's her friend. Mm-hmm. But Hansa sniffs out her magic immediately, and she's like, how dare you bring a mermaid in here? Like, this is crazy. What are you doing? Well, does she call her a mermaid?
I think she just calls her a witch, doesn't she?
Oh, okay. I think so. Or, yeah.
Maybe?
Some kind of other witch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Anna Meta and Evie are running around the beach, talking about their magic, And Anameta shows her a couple of things because she's really confident in her magic and she can turn like oysters into pearls, something like that.
Yeah, she like makes a pearl. Does she just pull one out of something? Did they use the squid ink? Somehow she makes her like a magical pink pearl.
Yes, she makes a little pink pearl and puts it on a necklace for Evie to wear. And Evie doesn't, like, it feels kind of weird to her.
Yeah, she has like, a reaction to it.
Yeah, it's either really hot or really cold, and it doesn't feel quite right. It's not, but they kind of make it sound like it's just a different kind of magic, so it's not mixing well with hers.
Mermaid magic.
And Anameta's kind of like, okay, let me teach you a couple of things. She reveals to Evie that she is on land because she's in love with the Prince Nick and that she has to make him fall in love with her. Otherwise, she'll die after, I want to say 3-4 days. One of those.
I think three days.
They had a little bit more time than the movie, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
It might be 4 days. I don't know. 3 nights, 4 days. We'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Evie is like, okay, great. Well, I know him. Let me just get you into there.
And, yeah, let me just set you guys up.
Yeah, yeah. Let me hook it up for y'all.
Because did they like each other before she died?
I don't think so. I don't think Evie recognized that in herself or in him.
Okay.
But Nick did. You know what I mean?
Nick liked Anna or Nick liked Evie?
Evie.
Okay, Evie. Okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to skip over a lot of this stuff.
That's fine.
In the middle.
I maybe fell asleep during it. It's fine.
That's very fair. We get a lot of back and forth. Like, we go through their days. They've managed to get rooms in the castle. The queen's a little suspicious, but it's fine. We get more flavor on how outlawed witches are. They have a festival every year where they burn little witch effigies because they're so yes, they're so being a witch is super duper illegal.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird kind of thing to throw in there. Like, don't they literally burn witches too if they find out?
Yes, they do. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that seemed a little intense.
I mean, I think that's a real thing though.
I mean, it is definitely a real thing, but like, again, Hansa is just like obviously a magical lady, so it confused me for us to be like witch trials burning witches but also being so casual with the magic.
Yes. I think Evie does try not to use her magic in public.
Yeah.
And she has to tell Anameta not to as well because like they're witches against the law. I wonder if I should find the passage or not about Hansa being like the royal healer, but she does use like tinctures and mixes and stuff. So
it's not like super obvious.
No, it's not like magic's rolling off of her hands or something.
Yeah. I thought the witch burning would maybe be a plot point, but it sure wasn't.
I mean, it was definitely a plot point at the end. I think you might have fallen asleep.
Did I miss that
part? I think you might have, which is fine.
That's fine. Maybe this book is better than I thought because I just fell asleep for all the good parts.
Nothing wrong with that, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Self-care.
It does come back at the end. So, okay. Yeah. Anameta has a secret knowledge about Evie. She knows that she's a witch. She has a little bit of power over her, and the same.
She kind of alludes to that at one point too. Like,
yes, it's very much like
I know something about you. So you know,
mutually assured destruction. Because if she reveals that she's a mermaid, like she'll get messed up. But you know, if Evie reveals that she's a mermaid, Anameta is going to reveal that Evie's a witch. So. Yeah. They have this, like, truce where they're, it's a very odd, like, power dynamic. It very much gave me the vibe of, like, when you're friends with a girl, but, like, she's really mean to you.
Yeah.
And, like, you have this tense friendship.
Yeah, a constant fight.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. But it's all secret wars. You know, it's not outward.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But basically, we get to see them interact with each other and try to fall in, like, Evie trying to create situations where Nick will get time with Anameta and they'll fall in love. And on their double dates, like, Iker is, you know, hanging out with her and they're dating and they're having a cute time. It's Iker's I like their it. Romance. Uh-huh. I was into
He's
it.
He's like, oh, Nick, why don't you go hang out with Anameta and speak a little bit?
Why don't you go have alone time and leave us alone?
Yes.
And Nick is kind of like, he almost doesn't. He doesn't want to a lot of the time.
Yeah, he's kind of not super into it.
No, he's he's very polite and friendly. And, like, mm-hmm. he likes that Evie has a new friend. And it's kind of weird that she looks like Anna. But he does not think that she's Anna. Like,
why don't they figure it out?
I have no idea.
Her and Iker. Like, why don't they know?
So here's the thing. I think Iker knows. I think Iker realizes she's super suspicious and a con artist.
Oh.
Yeah. So they go on this double date on Iker's schooner. During that date, Iker starts questioning Anameta. And both Evie and Nick are like, hey, back off, man. You're being really aggro for no reason. Iker's like, hey, when you guys get scammed, like, it's not going to be my fault.
Blame me.
Exactly. And when they're on that double date, another storm happens and they have to go back to shore. But basically, we get to the culmination of the big dance party. Nicholas is going to be crowned. They have a bunch of, like, I don't think we get a whole lot of, like, plot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, developing the relationships throughout this period.
Yeah, more parties.
Mm-hmm. And we get more, like, I'm kind of magically suspicious of this lady, you know?
Suspicious.
So we get a part where Evie leaves the castle. She casts this little invisibility spell on herself, and she goes down to the ocean. She is practicing a spell for an exchange. After learning a little bit more magic from Anameta about how, like, trusting in yourself makes it a little stronger, and, like, how you can use simple direct commands in your magic rather than weaving a whole word. She practices this magic where she throws her amethyst that she's had in her family for a while into the ocean. She asks for the ocean to exchange it, and it sends back this, like, ruby blood red stone, and it's, like, warm to the touch. It's like her new focus, magical focus. We also get a little bit more flavor about the day that Anna died, and how when Evie was at the beach, like, waiting, watching for people to come back and save, like, with her body or something, she was crying and she started doing some magic, and she started to cry ink tears, and they, like, fell into the ocean, and that was when the famine started.
Oh,
yes. So she caused, and we don't really learn this till the end, but she caused the famine, and then she fixed it, kind of, with her blessing mm-hmm. on the ships. So she practices her magic, she comes back, and then they do their party. So they are having a ball. Iker was like, hey, Evie, you're, like, my date to the party or whatever. She's like, yeah, absolutely. We're cute together. And I like you. Nick and Anameta are going together. And Anameta, throughout their adventure, she's confronted Evie a couple times. Like, hey, I'm not your dead friend. Like, I'm me. You don't like me for me or whatever. And mm-hmm. Evie's like, no. We're friends. We're like, no, I know you're you. But she's still in denial.
Yeah. And I think at this point, hasn't Evie talked to Nick? And Nick has told Evie that he's like, I'm not really that into her.
Yes. So I think when she was coming back from doing her magic, they had a little talk heart to heart in the garden. And he's, like, playing a guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I was like, okay, sure.
Bold capital B.
he's just a soft emo boy.
He's a soft boy. He's sensitive.
He's a prince who plays the guitar.
Wow. What a dream, though.
Oh, terrible. But he gets to tell her a little bit. Like, I think he tries to confess his love to her. And she kind of shuts it down before he can, like, get the words out. But, yeah, he lets her know, like, hey, you know, it's nice that she looks like Anna, but, like, I'm not in love with her. And she's like, well, why not?
Yeah. I get my friend back. She contemplates, like, telling him that she only has 3 days or she's going to turn into seafoam if he doesn't love her. But then she's like, I feel like she's going to rat me out, too, though.
Well, right. And she doesn't know if it would break the magic if she tells him the truth.
Yeah.
So they're at the party. They enter. Iker has his first. Iker is announced with another girl and they like dance and she's a little bit heartbroken. And Iker tries to be like, no, baby, don't.
No, baby.
My aunt tried to set me up. It's like, I only want you.
She's my cousin.
We're gonna run away and sail on a ship for a year or whatever and hunt whales together. And I was like, okay, but maybe don't hunt whales.
Yeah, don't do that, please.
Right. And Anameta is dancing with Nick. They all go out on, Anameta and Evie go out on the balcony for a little bit and they have another confrontation. She yells at Evie and is like, he doesn't love me because he's in love with you. Or something along those lines. Yeah. And she's like, what? No way.
What?
He doesn't love me.
Me?
And the boys come out to the balcony and they're talking. I think Evie is trying to be like, no, Nick, you do love her. It's Anna. And then Anna is like, well, wow, my secret's out. This bitch is a witch. And then Iker is like, you're a witch?
Oh my god, I fell asleep for this. Tell me what happened.
He calls the guards. Iker is like, anti-witch.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, okay, we have to chase you down and shoot you.
What?
Yeah.
I miss so much.
That's okay. So, Evie and Anameta are running away to the ocean, away from these guards. They're doing magic to try and save themselves. And Nick is behind, like, he's closely behind them, but they get to the sea and they have like another confrontation. Evie and Anameta are like, what the hell? What happened? We broke bad for what? And she's like, well, my time's almost up anyway, and I hate you and I've always hated you and you suck. And Evie's like, what the hell, man? I just wanted my friend back. Let me find some of the passages so I'm not just completely making it up.
Was this the point when we also find out that, like, Nick was trying to swim to save Anna, but Iker stops him?
Oh, yes. Yes, we do get that. So when they're swimming out to get Anna, she's, like, really far down in the waves. Like, she's like, deep. And like,
all they see is her foot or something sticking out between some rocks. Like, she's stuck.
Yeah, she's, like, down there, and she's stuck. Like, Nick went down far enough to start to see her, like, the foot and everything, but I don't think he would have gotten far enough, had enough breath to get her out, and swim back up.
No, so, I don't think he would have saved her.
I don't think so either. But Iker, who was, like, a couple years older, and is like, hey, this guy has responsibilities. He can't be risking his life over this nobody girl. Or, well, she's not nobody. She was, like, noble. But not equivalent, you know? Right.
Or like, Iker could tell that she was probably already dead too. Like, she's probably already drowned.
Exactly. So Iker is like, Nick, you gotta come back. Like, he like pulls him away to try and, you know, keep their monarchy society from collapsing. You know? I think we learn a little bit that, like, the mermaids who saved Anna. Do we learn that here?
Yeah, I think so. We get a flashback to, like, she drowns.
Yeah, she drowns.
And then somehow she gets to some mermaids.
So the mermaids were, like, close. They were, like, there.
Okay.
The sisters. So, you know, you've got your Sea King. He's got a bunch of daughters. Mm-hmm. All mm-hmm. those daughters were, like, playing around the area. And, like, the daughters come across her. And they're like, oh, my gosh, she looks so much like us. Because they have the same, like, blonde hair. She's beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And she was, like, in the process of dying. So they call their dad. And they're like, hey, help her, help her, help her. You did this once before. And he's like, well, let's try it. And he turns her into a mermaid. And that's why they call her Anameta, because the sea queen, her name was Meta.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And she died.
She did die. But we do get a little bit of how that magic works. Like, when the Sea King transformed his wife, like, he fell in love with her instantaneously. Yeah. And, like, she loved him, I guess. Yeah. I mean, they had a bunch of daughters, but she was drowning. He turned her into a mermaid, and they had a pretty good life together for a while. But she wanted to go back on land, and she had, like, she turned herself into a human, or she did a spell to turn herself human, and she had to make blood sacrifices to do it. Oh. And the Sea King keeps a record of all of that. Like, he's got histories and stuff with all those,
yeah.
All that. So Anameta, in the beginning as a mermaid, she did not remember her past life. Like, and she was raised, like, they were just like, yeah, no, you're just a mermaid. You're just a normal mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing weird going on here.
Never been a human before.
Never, never, never. And they don't tell her about her past. She does, I think she feels a little bit othered in the mermaid society.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, her special talent is luck. So that's what she was always told. Like, you know, you're just lucky to be here. That's what they told her for a while. Okay. When she was swimming in the bay and she saw Nick and Evie on that boat, her memories came back to her. And that storm that came out of nowhere, that was her magic. She was so angry. Yes. She was so angry. She's angry. She called a storm down on them.
Yup.
Yeah. We also get a little bit of, like, mermaids don't have souls in this universe. So,
Was interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of like, sure, I don't really know how that works.
I mean, the only time I've ever heard that is in that webtoon, Siren's Lament.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about them not having souls in that one.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that's, like, a lore that is just not super popular, but comes from something, or...
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't...
We maybe should know.
We'll maybe, research. It's just like, maybe it's just, like, only humans have souls. I don't know. Like, and that's what makes humans special, but whatever. Maybe,
again, it calls back to that weird, like, don't put weird Catholic ideologies in with mermaid stories. It gets funky.
It gets weird, man.
Yeah.
So Anameta is kind of, like, revealing her evil plans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of when I started to wake up again, and I was like, oh my god, what just happened?
Right?
They were at a party, and now everyone's angry.
And I think they're fighting each other with magic at this point, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because Anameta wants to kill Evie. Or, no, she doesn't want to kill her. She wants to...
She doesn't?
No, not quite at this point. She wants to have Evie watch everything she loves die.
Ah! Uh-huh. Yeah. Like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Nick and Iker, right?
Yes.
Or is it just Nick?
Well, it's... Evie thinks she's in love with Iker, but I think Anameta is like, no, this bitch loves Nick.
Yeah. Like, just open your eyes, my dude.
Open your eyes. So they're fighting with magic. Anameta's evil plan was to become human. To become human in the first place, you have to spill blood. Or, like, a human's blood. And she did. And she became human. And then... In order for her to, like, stay a mermaid, she would have to have true love's kiss and, like, fall in love with, you know, Nick, who she's decided. Or the other option is to spill the blood of the king on her feet.
Oh, yeah. My God. I missed that part.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's because the royal line is so involved with the witch hunting. Like, that's why that's part of it. I don't know.
Like an exchange.
Yeah, something like that. It's got to be, like, a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So Evie's like, well, I'm not going to let you hurt the people I love. So we're fighting with magic now. And she was like, we could have just been cool. And she's like, well, it wouldn't have worked anyway because I don't love Nick. I hate all of you. Oh. And she's like, what? Come on.
What?
Yeah. She's like, what did Nick do? Well, he was in love with you forever. And that's why I fucking died. Because he saved you. And then I died in the waves. And she was like, we tried so hard to save you. But she's not hearing it. Nick comes up and I think he gets blasted with a little bit of magic. Oh, no. I remember now. So Nick comes up. Evie's like, you know what? You're right. I do love Nick.
Yep.
I realize my true feelings in this moment of conflict. And Anabeta's like, well, too bad. You're going to die anyway. So what happens is Anabeta and Nick and Evie are having they're talking together. Anabeta stabs Nick. Yeah, she has she stabs him, and she was gonna like drip the blood on her feet and like take her life back, that kind of thing, which is like, get over it, okay? Come on, you've got a lot of unchecked rage.
Get over it, man.
You could have just lived in the ocean as a mermaid. Like,
that's the goal.
Come on. Whatever. The guards and Iker come up and they see that Nick's on the ground bleeding, and they have their guns trained on the girls, and Evie goes over to Nick to, like, they do a kiss, and she also is doing that spell to, like, exchange lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And Anamesh is like, y'all suck and I hate y'all, and here's my water magic. And she ends up killing the king.
She does?
She does. She ends up killing the king. And she drips the king's blood on her feet. So, like, her magic is complete. She could stay as a human. And because she is now a human, her magic doesn't work anymore. She doesn't have her mermaid magic anymore. So Evie is like, oh, fuck you. I'm gonna kill the fuck out of you for trying to destroy my life and all my friends and loved ones. And she figures out at this point that her father hasn't come back from his fishing trip because Anameta killed him to start the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's pretty bad.
That is bad.
Yeah. Evie gets shot because Iker is a cop.
She's a witch killer.
She's a witch killer. That's like, that's his thing from now on. I don't know. It felt bad. It was like, why? Well, he says that, like, you being this thing is a betrayal to me. And it's like, why can't you just be cool? We were fine.
Yeah. You liked me.
Yeah. And he was like, well, you're a witch and you're trying to get in good with the royal family so you can rule these kingdoms and be evil in the kingdoms. And she's like, that's literally none of this is happening.
No one ever said that.
No one ever said that. You're projecting, I think. So Nick is saved with her magic. Evie and Anameta keep struggling together and they fall into the ocean. Evie, instead of exchanging her life for Nick's life, I think she exchanges Anameta's life for his life.
Yes.
Yes. And they sink down into the bay, and there's more magic that happens. It gets vague around this point. But she merges with an octopus who has been in the bay for a while. Like, he, you know, he's just like the resident octopus of the waters.
He has something to do with her magic, too, doesn't he?
He gets ink she gets ink from him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she does her magic. They combine, and she has to live underwater in her cave now. And I was like, oh, no.
As an octopus lady.
I was like, wait a minute. They were supposed to have a happy ending. Forgetting that this was a villain retelling.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's now Ursula. She has all the guards that died in the conflict, and Anameta, their souls become the little like seaweed polyps in her in her ocean base, and they kind of make this underwater tree system. So like she lives in her cave. The souls of the people that died around her are there, and she's alone forever, and she can't. The magic keeps her tied to the bay, and she doesn't get to be with her loved one.
Nope.
Yeah.
She still can do magic, though.
She still can do magic. And we get a little bit of Hansa, like, magically waterproofs a lot of her spell books and drops them into the ocean for her.
That's nice.
Yeah. And she just kind of hangs out down there at the end.
Yup.
Yeah.
That's the end.
Yeah. In the second book, we get a little bit of flavor where Nick will, like, go to that cliff and sit and, like, visit.
Oh.
Yeah. He'll, like, but he'll just be talking out into nothing, like.
Oh, okay.
And I think he knows that she's there, but he can't do anything. So he just sits and, like, talks to her. And he has the stone. That red stone, he made it into a ring, and he wears it.
Oh.
I know. Yeah.
That's nice.
Tragique.
Tragique.
But a lot of the themes throughout, and, like, the way that the magic works was, like, you know, the sea takes and it gives. Like, it gives and it takes, and it's a cool mistress. And you don't get to decide when you're at the mercy of the sea. No. So, yeah. But that was the book. There is an afterword. Oh, please recap me.
Yeah, I mean, it basically leads into the second book, which I haven't read, but the afterword cuts to 50 years later.
Yes.
And it's just like Evie's chilling in her thing. It's 50 years later, and then this girl comes to visit her. She's a human girl, or she's a mermaid girl.
Yeah.
Yep, she's a mermaid girl. And she swims up to her, and she's like, "Hey, Lady Sea Witch, what if you could make me a human? Because there's this boy who already loves me, definitely, and I just need to get up to him so we could be together." And Evie's like, interesting. That's interesting. Tell me more. He already loves you, and you know what this is gonna contain, and you know the consequences. And she's like, "Oh yes, he already loves me. I saw him on a boat, and I just gotta get up there so I can introduce myself." And Evie's like, "You have to introduce yourself. I thought he already loved you."
Mm-hmm,
and she's like, "Oh, okay, I know so, that, like, he sees me."
We were like, "He staring. Will love me." We were like staring at each other a lot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm sure.
I know it's gonna happen.
100%. He would love me if he knew that I saved him. That's how love works, right, Michael?
Yes. Which of this prince is King Nick's, like, grandson.
Yes.
And so this mermaid has fallen in love with the grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And so Evie, like, contemplates it, and basically she does it for her, knowing that it's not going to work and she's going to turn into seafoam. But she's like, I'll do it for you, I guess. Mm-hmm. And doesn't she, like, have... She takes a prize. She takes her voice.
Yes.
So it's... This is the... We've caught up to... quote unquote Ariel and the Little Mermaid story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is that she doesn't want her lying to any of the humans, and that's part of why she takes her voice. Is like, you cannot tell lies up there.
Yeah, she doesn't want, like, an Anameta thing to happen again.
Exactly. So that's why she takes her voice, and she does give her an alternate option. She's like, "Okay, so you can chance on true love, sure. But just in case, here's a knife." You've got to sprinkle his blood on your toes if you want to stay human. Otherwise, you'll just turn into seafoam. Like, if and there's no going back to being a mermaid for this Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
So.
And that's how it is.
That is. I liked the second book. We get a little more mermaid society.
Cool.
We get a little bit more of it's a little bit later in time. I think this part, the second book, takes place just before World War II. So they have automobiles and submarines, and the submarines are, like, kind of a plot point.
Okay.
And we get more, like, magic stuff. And I would say it has a happier ending.
Oh, thank God.
Happier.
happier.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, yeah, it's good. I, like, basically, I don't want to go too heavy into detail, but basically, she does this magic. The Sea King is furious. His magic is the magic that keeps her in the bay. Like, he won't let her leave. Because he's, like, threatened by her magic. Because she has land magic mixed with a little bit of water magic now. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, all water magic. And he's been siphoning magic from the land for a while. So he's, like, super powerful. And he's, like, cracked up out of his brain. Because he has these magic flowers. And the magic flowers, like, enhance his powers. So he's dependent on these flowers. He's, like, a tyrant. He's not great. And his daughters are kind of running away against him. Spoiler. The initial mermaid does not survive. But her sister, who turned into a human to go save her, she fails saving her, but she does fall in love with somebody, and they love each other. And like, her deal was that she would get stuck as a human if she failed her deal. And instead of returning to the ocean, because that's what she wants. She wants to go back home. And they're like, well, why couldn't you have made that deal for the other one? She's like, well, that wasn't what she wanted. That wasn't it didn't have the same emotional weight and the magic knows.
Right.
But basically, like, they overthrow the Sea King. He dies because he's, like, cracked out on magic. They mostly have a happy ending for the sister's romance. And I think she stays as a human to be with her loved one. And Evie becomes the new sea witch. Like, she's the ruler of the sea at the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's like, are you sure you guys want me to be the queen? And they're like, yeah, no, this is how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's... I liked it. I wasn't quite as, like, sucked in as quickly as I was with the first one. But it was worth a read. It was, there were a little bit more, like, is that really how people would do things? But it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
So for the book, The Sea Witch, I would rate the whole thing itself 4 out of 5 stars. That's what I would say.
Okay.
For the book, because it wasn't too long. I liked all the little, I don't know. I liked how they were interacting with each other. I thought it was nice and charming, and I felt the world was really fleshed out.
Yeah.
In the second book, the world gets a little weirder, so it doesn't feel quite as nice.
Okay.
But the first book, I really liked the world building. I liked the magic. I liked the characters. It was just the ending that I was like, no! Why? Well, it was just silly of me. As far as the mermaid scale, I would only give it maybe 4 out of 10 scales. We don't have a lot of, well, I don't know. We don't have a lot of mermaid time, but we do have a lot of, like, sea magic time, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll up it to, yeah, 5 out of 10. 5 out of 10 scales for me.
Okay. For my rating, it's not the book's fault, but I'm gonna rate the book like a 2.5 out of 5. Again, part of that was my fault and the mental state I was in at the time. I didn't vibe with the narrator. It was a little weird. I think it's a book enjoyed better if you read it instead of listen to it. And I fell asleep during some key plot points that maybe would have brought it together little more for me.
Here's the thing. If the narrator can't keep you, like, I don't blame you. It's not your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. So it fell a little flat for me. But again, partly me, partly the book, I would say. So 2.5 out of 5.
The format.
The format.
Yeah, for sure.
Mermaid scale. Man, I was pretty disappointed in the lack of mermaidness. Like, I knew it was about the sea witch, but, like,
I thought there'd be more mermaids.
Right. Like, we get, like, a flash of some scales. She flips her tail once. And then she turns. We get the sea witch at the end, who is not a mermaid, but she's an octopus lady. So, like, that part was kind of cool. I gotta give it like a 3.
That's fair. 10. That's super fair.
I want more tale description. I want more mermaids.
Yeah.
Ocean vibes were cool.
The ocean, I think that's why I rated it so high, is because the ocean is a character throughout, and I was like, we're here. We're on the ocean.
Yeah.
So I did like that. But no, that's super fair. And yeah. I think my having read the second book also is like, oh, well, there's mermaids in the second one.
Yeah. I didn't get the mermaids in the second book, so.
In the second book, I would rate that like 7 out of 10 mermaids. There's mermaids all over that thing. You get so much like mermaid history. It's crazy.
I would probably like the second book more than I liked the first one, even though it's weirder.
I think it would be worth a read because she still writes in that same voice, and I do like how she writes. Like I like Sarah Henning's voice throughout the book.
Yeah, maybe I'll physically read the second one and I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll just give you my Kindle login. No biggie. Oh boy. Oh, that's so funny. One of my issues throughout reading the first book was they would use like the Danish or Finnish words for things, and in my brain it like Havenstad or Havnestad, like my brain would just be like ba-ba-ba. Yep. Or like whenever she had to like do a spell, it would just be like ba-ba-de-ba-ba.
Yeah.
Because that I could not
kind of cool.
Yeah, like, yeah. Listening,
because she actually said the Danish words, and I was like, that sounds right to me.
Sure, absolutely.
So I bought into that part, but I was all because let me try that sentence again. And it also made me feel like since there weren't words that I recognized, I couldn't remember things as well just listening to them.
Yeah.
But again, that's a me problem, you know?
That's okay. There's a couple of things that they like reference multiple times, like pickled fish, and it's called like Skullink or whatever.
Yeah.
And the way that my brain worked when I was reading it, I was just like, oh, here's that pattern of letters again. Yeah. I know what that is. It's the food thing.
Yep.
The prayer.
Prayer.
Ah, that was fun. No, I'm glad we reviewed this one. I read it on the plane out to GeeklyCon, and I finished it in the hotel. So it helped me pass the time.
I could see it being a nice, like, travel book.
It was. It really was.
Easy to read. A nice story that, like, kind of keeps you interested. It's like, what the heck's going to happen next?
Exactly. Maybe that's why I had such a good experience with it.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we've got our ratings for The Sea Witch. Would you recommend it to people?
I feel like I would. I would give them a little background. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of related to Disney, but, like, also not in some key ways.
Yes.
Because of copyright.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, yeah, I feel like I would be able to judge whether someone would like it or not, and I feel like there are people that would like it.
Oh yeah. I would give this a pretty strong recommend, but for the book version rather than the audiobook.
Yeah. Definitely.
But yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, if you're into magic, if you're into witches and mermaids, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like young main characters, if that's okay, like definitely a YA feel.
Oh yeah.
Then definitely. You would like this.
Yeah. Cool. So next week, we've decided we're going to do something just a little bit different with the recent news that I don't know if this is confirmed, but the rumor mill is going around that Netflix is going to put all the Barbie movies on its platform. I know.
Oh, my God.
But I don't know if it's Netflix US, and I don't know if it's an actual real thing that's going to happen. So
we gotta get like a VPN service to watch it from like Norway and Japan.
Absolutely.
And stuff and find it on there.
Surfshark, sponsor us. It makes sense.
NordVPN.
Well, I was thinking Surfshark because the shark and the mermaid.
Yes.
I was like, this makes sense.
Any companies out there, if you have like ocean or mermaid related content and you want to sponsor us, hit us up.
Absolutely. We can be bought.
Yes. You can find us on Instagram at Siren Sisters Pod.
There we go.
Message us there.
So Netflix might put the Barbie movies on there. So next week, that's what I wanted to say. Next week, we're going to rank all of the Barbie mermaid movies. And that's going to be really great for us.
Because yes, there are a lot.
There's, let me take a look. Okay, there are 8 Barbie movies with mermaids in them. They're not all like the Mermaidia or Mermaid Tale, or like they don't all have mermaid in the title, but all of these ones feature mermaids.
That's a lot.
It is. It is a lot.
I'm excited.
Oh, that's going to be so nice. She's like, actually, I can't hang out tonight. I have to watch Barbie movies.
Sorry, I'm busy.
I'm busy.
I'm booked with my mermaid.
Finally, an excuse for me to watch the Barbie movies as an adult.
Like, we needed one.
honestly, it's my natural state of being. So yeah,
healing our inner child watching Barbie movies.
Yay! But yeah, we're going to rank all the Barbie mermaid movies.
By how much we like them and by the mermaid scales.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Perfect. I'm so excited.
Me too.
I'm looking at their list of notable mermaids.
They're Nori, beautiful.
Right? Nori, Prince Nalu, Merlia. I remember Merlia. Queen Calissa, Lumina, Isla, Aquaria, Coral. Oh, this is great. They have a list of temporary mermaids too.
Oh.
Chelsea, Stacy, Skipper, Brooklyn, Barbie, Kylie, and Alina.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just like, ooh, temporary mermaids.
So, do you have a ocean fact to send us on out of here?
I sure do. At 188 decibels, the calls of blue whales is the loudest sound made by any animal on the planet.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's loud. Nice.
Yeah.
You can look up recordings of sounds that they've, like, found in the deep sea, and not all of them are, like, super duper loud, and they, you know, they've captured it from, like, miles and miles away. But some of them, they don't know what they are.
Oh, that's scary. I don't like that. Maybe it's mermaids.
Maybe it's mermaids.
It's Mermaid City. It's the bass from the thumping parties of the mermaids.
The mer-rave.
The mer-raves. The mer-clubs.
Some of the extra spooky ones are caused by ice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are so scary.
Yeah, and, like, glaciers and, like, ocean ice has, like, ice quakes. Like, Earth has earthquakes that can have ice quakes. And those get pretty loud, too. Very spooky.
Spooky!
Yay!
We'll feature that in October.
We'll just make you listen to the calls of creepy animals.
You just play ocean sounds and react to them.
I like that. Okay, well, I've been Audrey.
I've been Ash.
And we have to go back into the ocean.
Bye-bye. Splash.
Splash.